There are bulletins in the back. Okay, I would suggest getting a bulletin for the message. There are seven statements in there you need to go through. Some churches put the order of service, they put a little star so you stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down, stand up, sit down. So I got on a Southern Baptist website, didn't have time to study this week, and got a sermon off there, so I put in a bulletin. So, okay, yeah, I would try to, if you need that, I really encourage you to get that, because I want to show you something. Besides, we had to play last night, you're too tired, so you got to be looking at something. And if you get bored, then you can tic-tac-toe on it or whatever. So, okay, Matthew 21, two places in the Bible, Matthew 21 and Exodus 9. We'll start with Exodus 9 first. Exodus 9, verse 20 and 21. Okay, these are the plagues with Pharaoh about the cows, where some hail is coming down, is going to kill the cows if they didn't bring them in. It's a common saying, until the cows come home. That's where that comes from. And there's two basic attitudes that people have toward the Word of God. Exodus 9, verse 20 and 21 gives the two basic attitudes. And I'm going to show you how to find out what attitude an individual has. And hopefully, first, it'll be a blessing to you individually if you're a true Bible believer. It'll be a blessing, and plus, you will recognize when somebody is giving you their opinion. And they really don't believe the book. Sadly, most churches this morning, the man or woman behind the pulpit's got a book that has Bible written on it, but most of them don't believe it. And I'm going to show you how you know that. Exodus 9, verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord, notice lowercase w, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Okay, common saying, until the cows come home. Okay, so there's going to be something that's going to come, hail, I think, coming down, and if you don't get them inside the barns, then they're going to die. God said that through Moses, and so the ones that feared that brought their cattle in, and their cattle didn't die. And the other attitude, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field, and then they died. Those are the two attitudes. Fear the word of God, that's a Bible believer, and does not regard it. Now that has a pretty wide gamut, meaning ignore it, discount it, adamantly against it. Okay, that's the two approaches. Okay, that's the two basic attitudes. Okay, if you would look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Okay, the bottom line in any discussion and the bottom line in life is final authority. Okay, the bottom line in all the football games today, bottom line is not what this team thinks and not what this team thinks. The bottom line is the interpretation of the rules by the referees. That's the bottom line. Okay, and so do they comply with the interpretation of that referee, or does this team comply, and does this one get the ball over the goal more than this one back and forth? That's the bottom line issue, is the interpretation of the referees of the rule book. And so what is the final authority? Who is the determination? Matthew 21, verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? I can just see their snide attitude. Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Oh, they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. What is the conclusion you get from that reasoning? They don't believe either one. They don't believe either one. So they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." If they were honest, they would have said, "We will not tell." They said, "We cannot tell." He said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to understand these words. I do pray that you'd help us to be honest and to believe you. And help us to love your words. And help us recognize that if we're in a discussion with somebody, that we can recognize that they really don't believe your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, this message is not going to be convicting per se. I just want to edumacate you this morning. Edumacate, that's a combination, edification, education, and put you on edge. Okay, Lush Rimbo, he says he's the cutting edge of societal evolution. Okay, and so we're just going to help you to realize when you can actually have a discussion with somebody and get down to the bare metals and find out final authority, and then you can see right where it's going to go from that thing. I don't care who you're talking to. Final authority is the issue in life. Bottom line, who sets the rules? Okay, give me an example. Several years ago, I talked to a guy who was in jail. He called himself Rebel. He claimed to be a Satanist. And so I got yakking talking to him, and I asked him, I said, "Who is your authority in life?" And he said, "Me." So he was honest. A Satanist was honest. He said, "Me." I said, "Okay, so if you in your opinion think that up is that way, and I say, look up, since you are your own final authority, you're going to go, right?" He looked at me and said, You're nuts. I said, "Yeah, but you see, since you're your own final authority, I could be nuts, but you could be nuts. We don't know who nuts are because you're your own authority. I have a different authority." So, and he says, "You're crazy." I said, "Yeah, but see, again, I could be crazy or you could be crazy. We don't know who crazy is because you are your own final authority." And these guys started laughing. I said, "Suppose your favorite number is 13. He said, "No, it's 18, 6 plus 6 plus 6. I said, "Oh, come on, be a man. 13 is the devil's number. That's the one you want." After talking to this guy for an hour, he confessed. He said, "You know, I was a Christian at one time." I said, "Really?" I said, "Now you're Satanist." I said, "You better keep that hidden, because if your Satanist buddies find out, they'll cut your throat." He was his own final authority. And you know the sad fact? Most people are. No, they're not a Satanist, but on the issue of authority, they're in the same boat as this guy. What is this called? Secular humanism. It is the religion of the public school, the media, Hollywood, the world in general. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. The Bible admonishes us to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Deuteronomy 13:18. So that becomes our final authority. The Lord God becomes our final authority. When a man believes that, then you can rejoice at the words as one that finds great spoil. Psalm 119, verse 162 says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that found great spoil." And the psalmist wrote there, "Seven times a day do I praise thee for thy righteous judgments." Why do I say that? Because this book is our final authority. That book right there. Now, how do you know that? How do you actually honestly know that? When you really believe that and you've done the study and searched out, hey, that book right there is my final authority, and I can exalt that book because God is exalted above his name, and I can even brag about this book because it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do you know that? If you would look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, here's the bottom line. Why is it that a fundamental Baptist can read a King James Bible, and a Mormon read it, and a Jehovah's Witness read it, and all these other people read it, and why is it doesn't seem to be working in their lives? 1 Thessalonians 2:13 shows you why. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe." Two JWs are on my front porch, and I asked the one, I said, "Would you please show me an inspired copy of the scriptures?" He showed me his New World Translation. I smiled and I said, "Now, come on. I know you don't believe that. Don't you believe the originals were inspired?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, you are right. You're right." I said, "So you just think that translation is a work of men, right?" "Right." I said, "Now, can you show me an inspired copy of the scriptures?" He said, "No." I said, "See, that's the problem I have with your faith. It's all based on your opinion." I said, "I know you've probably never studied it out." I said, "But you need to go pray about that for a while." See, I knew how to flush them out real quick on that one. And so, God, we've got to realize that God communicates to man through words. Okay, animals communicate by sounds. I know some men do too. Newspaper. You know, something like that. Okay, but animals communicate by sounds. Yes, we can train a dog or a cat, and the cats don't come anyway. But we can train an animal to come by the word you say. But if you change your tone of voice, they will react differently. Animals go by sounds. People, we go by words. We have become conditioned to listen to the tone of people's voices. Now, God created Adam. From Adam until Moses or Elihu, there was no written words of God, none available. From Adam until Moses, about 1500 BC, for 2,500 years, how did God communicate his words to man? Numbers 12, verse 6 says, by dreams and visions. Okay, then Elihu wrote the book of Job from Job's experiences, and then Moses, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so then God started putting his words in print from 1500 BC until 400 BC, and he stopped at 400 BC, maybe 389, around that general range, completing the Old Testament. In the King James Bible, we got 39 books of the Old Testament. We have the same 39 books that a Jew would have in what they call the Scriptures, the same 39. They put them in different order, but same 39. And that's what Jesus Christ called the Scriptures of his day. And then after the Lord and his testimony, we have the New Testament about 100 AD as the New Testament is complete. So now we got in the Old Testament Hebrew, except for the time period after God dumped the Jews from Daniel 2 to Daniel 7, God went to a Gentile language, to Aramaic. And then in the New Testament, because God had dumped the Jews as a nation, he spoke in the New Testament in a Greek language or the Gentile language. And then time marched on, and believers took that pure manuscript that they had and preached the gospel to people. They went from there to Antioch, Syria. And in Syria, you had the first Syrian translation, then a Latin translation, then the Catholics counterfeited the Latin ahead of a Latin Vulgate. And then English has been developed around 1600, where it reached its almost pure peak. And God said, "I want to put that Hebrew, that Aramaic, that English in one language, in one book, a universal language that will go out to the entire world." And so we have a King James Bible. That's part of God's progressive revelation. But why is it that most preachers don't believe it? But yet they will agree with you if you ask these seven statements I've given you. Now, I developed these seven statements after watching Kurt Cameron on his website, The Way of the Master. Kurt Cameron was a Hollywood actor. Probably when I was in high school, I think that sitcom went through. I never really watched the thing. He got saved and became pretty adamant about his faith. And he would go out publicly and video record their street work, and I got a blessing out of some of the things they did. So I sent him a reference Bible. I said, boy, that's a blessing to me. So I sent him a reference Bible. I didn't think I'd hear from him. And he called me up. And he says, I want to thank you for that reference Bible. And he said, I'd like to ask you some questions. Could I? I said, sure. And he says, I see that you're King James. I said, yes. Yeah, I am. A little bit. And he said, I would like to believe that. Could I ask you some questions? Could you give me one good, solid thing? I said, I don't know if I can give you one. I can give you a bunch. But I said, let's try a few. So I try one of them. No, that don't do me. I try another. No, that don't do me. I try another one. And then on the bulletin, I combine number 4 and 5. Okay, and we'll go through these. And when I did that, combined 4 and 5, statements 4 and 5, he goes, oh, ooh, oh. I said, that hit pay dirt, didn't it? He said, ooh. Are you telling me my pastor? I said, I didn't say anything about your pastor. He said, I know James White personally. I said, I don't care. James White is a guy who wrote a book against the King James issue. He thinks he's a big shot. I said, it doesn't matter to me. I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect and holy today. And there should be a perfect and holy Bible today, right? And he says, oh. I said, it sure is a blessing. And he sidestepped this and sidestepped that. And after about 15, 20 minutes, we talked for about 30 minutes, very pleasant conversation. He said, could I call you back in a couple weeks? I said, you most certainly can call me back anytime you want. Never heard from him again. So I wrote a 7-page article. I put these 7 statements together, and I sent them to him. And here's the 7 statements. And you can do this with any Protestant. Now, a Catholic will not accept this because a Catholic has 2 authorities. What? Bible tradition. A Mormon will not accept it because they have 4 authorities. Bible, Book of Mormon, Doctrine of Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and their prophet. 5 authorities. Okay, so this will work at Grace College, Hiles Anderson, Fairhaven, you name it, it'll work at all of them. I just pulled this on a water dog through the email. Here's the statements. Yes or no, do you believe the Bible is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice? Moody Bible Institute, yes. Yes, we do. Philadelphia College of the Bible, yes. Dallas Theological Seminary, yes. We believe that. I already know they believe these things. I've asked and written several of them. Number 2. The Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you agree? Yes. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Praise the Lord. We are on the same page. This is a wonderful thing. Number 3. The Scriptures are inerrant. That's a big word meaning pure, without error. No errors or flaws in it at all. Yes, no problem. And then I'll say, could you give me that copy? And that's where it gets as silent as a turkey farm on Thanksgiving Day. Now, you could just use those 3. That'll work. But I got 7 because Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 says that the wisdom has hewn out its 7 pillars. So I got to get it up to 7 anyway. And besides, it's going to really tie the rag in the bush. So those 3 right there. Now, I'll read you this from Grace College. I went to Grace College for 2 years. I had a real spiritual reason for going there. I wanted to play basketball at the collegiate level. I asked the guy in the office 1 question. My 1 very important question to go into Grace College was, do you have to wear a tie here? No. I said, okay, then I'll come. 1 nice spiritual. Okay, Grace College. They have taken the first 3 statements and combined them in their statement of faith. If you listen closely, you will see there are 6 very unique words that overthrows everything else that they say. Here's what this says. I'm reading verbatim. We believe in the Holy Scriptures accepting fully the writings of the Old and New Testaments as the very Word of God, verbally inspired in all parts, and therefore holy without error, as originally given of God, altogether sufficient in themselves as our only infallible rule of faith and practice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are five words that changed everything. As originally given of God. They've never seen that copy. They don't have that copy. They've admitted to me they don't have that copy. Nobody has that copy. So how can you make that statement? What they should say is that, and with a P.S. But you can be assured that our godly leadership and professors will at least give you their opinion of what they think the originals would have said if we could read what they say. But how many students are going to go there if they put that? Okay, statement number four. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. Now, that's an uppercase W. The uppercase W in the Bible is flesh and blood Word of God, meaning Jesus Christ himself. A lowercase W is pen or paper and ink Word of God. If I'm going to write about the Bible itself, I would write lowercase W Word of God. If I'm going to write about the Lord Jesus Christ, I would write uppercase Word of God. Guess how many times that's found in the Bible? Seven. Seven times. Okay, seven times that's found in the Bible. So, that is a comparison of the Lord Jesus Christ to the written Word of God. And then next statement. And when I asked Kurt this, I said, do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect and holy today? And he said, most certainly. Of course, with all sincerity, yes, we believe the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect and holy today. Of course he is. And he's called the Word of God. Therefore, the conclusion is, there has to be a perfect written authority of the Word of God today. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ is counterfeited, the flesh and blood Word of God is counterfeited, there are many Christs, there must be many counterfeit Word of God. And you go to the Christian bookstore, you find them all on the shelves. Number six, now this one I just throw in there for fun. This one, the first being that cast doubt on the Word of God is satanic. With that in mind, if they cast doubt on my belief on that Word of God, they are being led of Satan. And when I've put that on one guy down in Rensselaerts, he says, are you telling me I'm speaking of the devil? And I said, I'm glad you said it and I didn't, because yes, you are. What's so surprising about that? Simon Peter spoke of the devil when he tried to discourage Jesus about going into Jerusalem. What's so big deal? I've spoken of the devil many times. Okay, so that statement's there. And the last statement, very important, that the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is of Israel. He is a Jew. The woman at the well called him a Jew. Salvation is of the Jews, John chapter 4, verse 22. And hence, the oracles of God are committed unto the Jews. So what would be the most logical place to get a Savior? Israel. So what's the logical place to get a Bible? Israel. The manuscripts of the root of this book comes from Israel. Now, if we take those seven ingredients, okay, if you got the ingredients of your cake, who wants to eat flour by itself? You know, pfft. Okay, so you got to throw in, you get your pan, you put in your flour and your egg and the shell, if you do it like Curly does, and you put everything in there, and you put the sugar, and then you stir it all up, and you get a wonderful cake when you put it in the oven, the trial of fire. And you put all seven of these together, there's only one book that matches it. As you go out this door, mama or dad, if you say to your child, go to the car, the Bible, what does that mean? The Bible. That means one book. If you say, go to the car, you are referring to one specific car. Am I correct? Yes, I'm right on that. The Bible is the final authority. The word is present tense. Not the Bible was, the Bible is. That means there's got to be one book, present tense, which I can get in my hands, if they mean what they say. They should say the Bible was inspired of God because the originals were in the past. The Bible is. Now that word is, the phrase is given, is a wonderful phrase to find in the New Testament. That is present tense every time you find it in the New Testament. The Holy Ghost of God is given to the believer. Is that not today? The gifts of the Holy Ghost are, it says, is given to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. So is given is present tense. So the Bible is the final authority. The Bible, the Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. That means that I have to have a book in front of me that is called the Bible, if they mean what they say. So if you take all those and put them together, you know what? It can't be those seven statements. That water dog, when I put those seven statements on that email, I said yes or no on all of these. He said yes to all of them. And then I put them in a beautiful recipe and sent them back. I said, those seven things can't be the originals because it says is. It can't be the NIV because, you see, the manuscripts that come from Egypt, not Israel. It can't be the New American Standard because those manuscripts come from Egypt, not Israel. It can't be the New King James because those manuscripts are Israel and Egypt mixed together in one little batch. I said, my friend, you have a wonderful news that you have a perfect Bible you can get in English. It's called the Authorized King James Bible. Isn't that wonderful? He wasn't so happy about it as I was. And so I wrote a three-page article titled AWOL, Absent Without Leave, Apostasy. We are living in an age of apostasy. I can get 100 preachers, probably get 99, all 100 Protestants of them agree with all seven statements, and if I put that together, all seven together, and draw the conclusion is only one book, the King James Bible. It's the only one that matches all seven ingredients. I'll watch them bring all the arguments up. Are you saying my pastor's the devil? See, the bottom line. And I don't know about you, but I am so thrilled and happy that when they say yes to all these statements, I smile and say, wonderful, we are in agreement. Isn't it wonderful to be in unity and harmony and love? And then when I bring up the King James Bible, do they get upset? I said, yeah, but you agreed. Several years ago, do you remember when we had Ron Wyatt here? Ron Wyatt, the archaeologist that found a bunch of things. There's a camp down in Converse, Indiana. It's a contemporary Christian camp. They have kids come in the summertime and everything. And so they built a 1/4 the size Noah's Ark according to Ron's specifications. So several of us got in a van, probably 8 to 10 of us got in a van. We went down to Converse, Indiana. We didn't know where the place was. Stopped at the first convenience store and we asked, do you know where the Ark is? And the lady said, oh yeah, it's down this road. And told us right where to go. And I'm thinking, man, if you build an Ark, everybody's going to know where you're at. And so we went down there. And it was fun. It was enjoyable to see that. Ron was excited. Ron Wise excited to see this ark. You know, I was excited. Everybody's excited. And we're getting ready to leave. We're standing. The van is probably 50 feet from us. I'm standing here. My dad is standing here. Ron Wise standing here. And the director of the camp right there. And I'm the young one in a bunch. So we got I didn't have gray hair then. Three gray-haired men, older men. I'm standing there. And I had my gold belt buckle, my $7 belt buckle. And it said, the Bible that God used and Satan hates, King James Bible. And I just forgot, you know, that was just the one I had on. So we're standing there. And the director of the camp says, oh, I like belt buckles. What does yours say? And I said, read it. Fortunately, I didn't have a pot belly, so I didn't have to go around it. And he read it, and he said, oh, why would you say that? Okay, I'm the young one. I'm not going to teach this man anything. So I just said, can I ask you a question? Well, sure. I said, if you had a choice to get your manuscript from Israel or Egypt, which would you choose? He goes, remember Dad? He goes, what kind of a question is that? My answer was, question to be answered. Ask a dumb question, I give a dumb answer. I asked a question, you answer it. So he said, what kind of a question is that? I just said, it's a question to be answered. He goes, Israel, of course. I said, see, that's why I believe the King James Bible. All the others come from Egypt. Israel, the King James Bible, the manuscripts come from Israel. I said, that's why. And I walked and got in a van. Just walked away from it. And that guy followed me to the van. I'm sitting in the van trying to mind my business. He said, well, Pastor, don't write me off. I said, well, I didn't think anything of it. If he wants to believe that, I don't care. Just don't lie to me about it. Just don't agree with me and then start arguing with me about your agreement with me. I don't get that. I just believe in honesty. You see, in those seven statements, you can sit down with any preacher and what you're going to learn. Hey, I don't think you should get mad at them. If a person wants to live their life by their personal opinion, I don't care. That's their choice, right? God gave us a free will. It's just that when you agree with me on my seven statements, you said yes, 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 and then when I put them together and made this wonderful cake, I don't understand why you're not happy like I am. I don't know about you, I am happy. I got me a pure Bible. I know how it feels to sit in a Bible class, a Bible school where they should call it Bible school. How many people would go to a Christian college if they called Bible school? You know, community Bible church. It used to be over here, community Bible. That's singular. Community Bible church, that's singular. And really what they believe. We used to go to a vacation in Wisconsin, and it was a Bible church. It was a wonderful little Bible church. Was it a log building? No. Yeah, it was a log building. Beautiful setting. And some women would carry 8 to 10 Bibles in Sunday school. Well, this translation says this. Well, this translation says this. Well, this translation says this. Now, they were sincere. That's what they were taught. But they don't believe one of those translations. They don't. I know they don't because I've asked people that. They think a translation is a work of men. I don't know about you, but it sure makes me happy that I know I got me a perfect Bible. And I got a God that inspired words. And I got so much scripture. All through the Bible, it warns us about people messing with the book. Jeremiah warned about it in Jeremiah 23. Paul warned about it in 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. All the new Bibles take the word corrupt out, change it. Every one of them do it. And so I don't know about you, but boy, when I realized this, and I said, wow, that is wonderful. My God kept his promise. We had a health seminar down at Rensselaer a long time ago. And after this thing, this guy got arguing with me. He said, you're King James guy, aren't you? I said, yeah, I guess so. And usually they'll say, are you King James only? I said, oh, no, I'm not that. So what do you mean by that? Well, I got an NIV in my office. I got a New American Standard. I traded people with them. They got them fake ones. I give them a real one. I keep the fake ones. I'm not going to pay for them. I got a bunch of them in there. But I know which one's right. People down at Rensselaer, I've actually heard people say, if you go to Hoffman's church, you got an NIV, he'll take it out of your hands, throw it on the ground. I might ask it for target shooting. That's what Tony York does. He takes it up, puts it on target, and shoots it. You know, I don't know. No, I don't care. As far as if a person carries one in, we had a guy come in, he carried it for a long, long time. I didn't say anything about it. Why? Because the Spirit of God might show him sometime. But the Word of God, it's perfect without error. Oh, it's so glorious to know that. Now, if you were an author, has anybody ever written a book? Okay, what's called a book? Okay, how about your papers? When your teacher puts all the red marks on your paper, don't you like the teacher? Okay, you write this article, you put your life and soul in that thing, and then somebody says, I don't believe that. You should have written this better. Come here, pal. I'd like to whap you upside the head. And we got a God in heaven who is listening to preachers and Christians all morning now,
Well, this could have been translated better this way. This could have been said better that way. Well, I really don't believe that there.
And God in heaven is sickened with this. So how can we get God's attention? If you would look in Isaiah 66, verse 2. I would like to be on God's good side. In fact, I would like to be the apple of God's eye. That's a common saying. I want the Lord God to be pleased with me. And how's the best way to do that? Isaiah 66, verse 2. Isaiah is a Bible inside the Bible. It's the largest book in the Bible with chapters. 66 chapters to match the 66 books in the Bible. It's a glorious book. This book is fascinating from cover to cover. Just fascinating. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all these things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Okay, and ladies, yes, it could be you too. Because you have the hidden man of the heart. This man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's that attitude of Exodus 9. They fear the word of the Lord. Poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. That's how we please God. You say, are you saying all these people are bad people? I'm not saying they're bad people at all. A lot of nice, good, moral people. It's just when you get to final authority, their opinion is just like everybody else's. They may be right, may be conservative, they may be fundamental, they may be liberal, they may be a modernist, but when it comes down to the bottom issue, final authority is do we have a perfect final authority in print? I'm so glad I got one. God kept his word without error. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That verse was the key verse of the Awana program for years. Remember the Awana? This church had Awana program. That was a key verse. They shifted from the King James to all the new Bibles, and they lost their memory verse. I remember when they changed. I wrote them. I was part of the writing and said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Why? Because you ruin your Bible memory verse. Study to show thyself approved. You don't get that out of the New King James. You don't get that out of the NIV. You don't get that out of the New American Standard. You don't get it out of any of them. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I would like to be approved by God. I really want to. So what do? Study. Study and believe the words. And our God in heaven says, I like that. That guy likes my book. And I like the God of that book. And I don't know about you, but I am so happy that when I realized God has kept his book without error. Why? I sat in school at Grace College for 2 years, got me an NIV, transferred to Hiles Anderson, they claimed to be King James, listened to the professors in classes, changed the book. They didn't believe it then, and I doubt they believe it now. Jumped on the bandwagon. I can flush the ones that jumped on the bandwagon, too. I know the verses to ask them. But you see, the wonderful thing is that God promised, Psalms 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I'm so happy he's done that. Isn't that wonderful to know that? It's wonderful to know that we got us a perfect final authority in print. And it's very saddening. It's very saddening to me when I get somebody, I give my 7 statements, and they say, yes, I agree with that. Then I mix it up, and I show them the cake, and they don't like my cake. I'll put chocolate icing on it. Put sprinkles on top. They just don't like the cake. They don't like the book. Because they don't like to be told what to do by God. Bottom line. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that this was a help and a blessing, folks. And Lord, we are in a day of an apostasy. But that doesn't mean that we have to yield to that apostasy. You have kept your word perfect, pure. you have allowed many counterfeits. The Lord Jesus Christ is pure and holy, but you do allow many counterfeit Christs. Why? I know why. It's to prove our sincerity. Do we sincerely want to know your words? Do we really want to know? And Lord, I'm so happy, so blessed that you have kept your promise and you've enlightened us to show us that you have kept that promise. And even the other side, the ones that don't like that promise, still agree with me when I give them the seven statements. But then they renege on it and start arguing about the fruitless things. And I pray you'd help us to love your book more. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed with that.